Sukracharya is speaking this verse. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Harinam 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 Eva Kevalam Kolo Nasteva 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Brihan Naradiya Puran. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yajna Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasha. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajnas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagyai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajantihi Sumerisha. Although Shukracharya was a strict Brahmana addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, Nishchidram Anusankirtananam Tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in the worship of the deity, there is still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all Sri Acharya says that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is nishchidram. It is faultless. There are no faults in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam ends with an analyzation of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of faults. It's so much fault-finding that they have insurance policies in the West. It's called no fault, no fault insurance. If one car runs into another car, they can't decipher who actually caused the accident, whether it was the guy in front put on his brakes, or the guy in the back was going too fast. So they say no fault insurance. It's nobody's fault. Everyone gets paid. Both insurance companies pay for fixing the cars. So no one's to blame. No fault insurance. So Vyasa Muni, understanding the nature of Kali Yuga, that it's full of faults and chidram and discrepancy, he said, oh, actually, there's one thing in Kali Yuga. Kalair Doshan Hey Rajan Asti Eka Mahaganam Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Puram Prajat. He says this age of Kali is like an ocean. Kalair Dosha Nide Rajan. Hey King, hey Prakshit. This material world is like a nidhi. It is an ocean. Maha Nidhi, the great ocean. It is an ocean of dosha. Dosha means difficulties, faults, problems. But of course, oceans also produce something, that is jewels. So nidhi also means jewel or treasure. So from this ocean of faults of Kali Yuga, one jewel has been produced. Just like the demigods churned the ocean of milk and they produced so many jewels. So Lord Chaitanya has come into this ocean of faults and he's churned this ocean of Kali Yuga. And what has he produced from this ocean? Krishna Kirtan. He's churned this ocean, Kalerit Ocean at Hey Rajan. He's come and he's churned it by with his arms, his raised arms are the churning rod. You know the churning rod, Ulukala? When you churn milk, you put one stick inside the pot of milk and it has little fingers on it. Choo, 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 choo. So Lord Chaitanya with his arms raised up and he's spinning around in the kirtan party, his arms are churning the ocean of Kali Yuga. His arms are churning his ocean of faults and he's producing one beautiful gem from it. Krishna Kirtan. What do you get from Krishna Kirtan? You get mukti, liberation from all the difficulties and faults and all the chidram. But not only mukti, but he came to give prem sankirtan. So, Vyasamuni is explaining, yes, it is full of faults, but there's one faultless thing. Mahagun, there's one good quality. That is the holy name of the Lord. It is completely faultless. There are no faults in the holy name. And by taking this faultless process of chanting Hare Krishna, you can escape the ocean of faults, the Kalerit Ocean Hey Rajan. And this, in this verse he's saying that there's all these Kaladesha Patra. For Jagya, so many things are required. The proper place, the proper time. In Sanskrit, it's called Kalakala Vichar. Kalakala Vichar. Prabhupada uses this term. Kalakala. Kalakala Vichar. There's consideration of Ashud Kala or Shud Kala. Is this the right time or the wrong time? Shud means pure. Is this a pure time or an impure time? Just like our Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Baba went to break fast on Dwadasi, but it was a Ashud Kala. Impure time. You know, from the story in Bhagavatam. So he went to bathe during a kala, which was impure. And so Varuna Dev, they arrested him. His servants of Varuna arrested him and took him to their palace because they wanted darshan of Krishna. Krishna always saves his devotees, so Krishna went there to save Nanda Maharaj. This is an example. He bathed at an improper time. That's explained in Bhagavatam. He took his bath in Yamuna at improper. That means Ashud Kala. So Kala Kala Vichara means consideration of time. So there's no Kala Desha Patra. And the place, there's no consideration of the Desha where you chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna everywhere. In Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went out to the fields to pass. And he was standing there in the fields and he was holding his tongue. And he's holding his tongue. And a little boy came along. The little boy said, "Hey Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? You're standing there holding your tongue in the middle of the stool field. What is..." And then he said, "I'm holding my tongue because I can't stop chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't stop, no matter where I go, so I know that, no, this is an Ashud, this is Ashud Desh. This is Ashud, an impure place, the stool field. So I should not do this jagya, because sacrifice cannot be done in an impure place. As you know, when our Gurukul Maharaj or Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj comes to do a jagya, first thing he has to do is purify the place of the jagya, right? They spread cow dung. First they wash the place with water, then they spread cow dung everywhere and put up a red thread and demarcate. They demarcate the yagyashala, make sure no one comes there. But as soon as when they're looking the other way, some dog runs through it. Oh no! Dog just ran through the yagyashala. Okay, get the cow dung out again and again. Wash the cow dung. I've seen so many yagyas in Vrindavan. They make the whole elaborate arrangement, guarding everything to make sure no dogs come. Then in the nighttime, when they're all sleeping, so many dogs run through the yagya arena, completely contaminating it. So this desh, so Lord Chaitanya is thinking this stool field is an impure place. It's Ashud desh. And I can't chant here because this jagya cannot be done, this sacrifice of chanting the holy name cannot be done in an impure place. And then Gopal, the little boy, said, "Mahaprabhu, the holy name is completely pure. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. It says in Padma Puran, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, Purna Shuddho. Purna Shuddho is completely pure. Purna Shuddho Mahaprabhu, the holy name is always pure. It never becomes contaminated by a dirty, contaminated place. This jagat can be done anywhere. And besides that, what happens, Mahaprabhu, if you go to the stool field or the stool room and you leave your body and you're not chanting Hare Krishna? It's better that you always chant Hare Krishna, so then in any time, in any place, you may unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, I guess it's fortunately, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you may leave your body. But if you're chanting, then you'll be saved, you'll be liberated. So you should chant everywhere. And Mahaprabhu looked down at this little boy, Gopal, and he put his hand on his head. He said, "Oh, Gopal, actually, you've spoken perfectly. You're like my guru. You're speaking like guru. You're quoting Shastra. You have a perfect Siddhanta understanding how this holy name is a papavidham. It is completely pure and purifies everything. So you're what is your name?" He says, "My name is Gopal." No, your name is Gopal Guru. You're Gopal Guru." So from then on, he became known as Gopal Guru. And then he grew up a little bit, because usually, 5-year-old boys aren't called Goswamis. So he grew up a little bit and he got the name Gopal Guru Goswami. And he was in charge of the puja in Gambira for the deity of Rukreshwara Pandit. He was a disciple of Rukreshwara Pandit. Sri Sri Radhakant in Puri, Gopal Guru Goswami. So there's no impure place, kala, desha, patra, circumstance, any time. And Lord Chaitanya himself, when he's glorifying the holy name, what does he say? Nam nam akari bahuda nijasarva shakti stitarpita niyamatai smarane nakala etadrshi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdeva midrijam ihajani nanuraga. He says, you're so kind, Krishna. You've given all these beautiful names and you've invested your beautiful forms in these names. Damodar, Madhava, Krishna, Govinda. Nija Sarva Shakti. All your power, your beauty, your rupam. Everything is in your name. Damodar. When I chant the name Damodar, then I see your Damodar rup and your Damodar lila. So sweet. Well, there's two features of your Damodar lila. One is your feature is Radha Damodar. When you come late to see Radharani, then the sakis tie you up in the kunj with some vines and some, they take their sashes and they tie you up to a tree and say, "Hey, never again, Swami." Swami means husband, or means master. "Never again, Swami. Don't come again late, or we'll tie you up again." So this is Radha Damodar. Then there's Yashoda Damodar. So all of this shakti, all this form and leela is packed up in the name. Then you say Madhav. "Hey, Radha Madhav." Or you say, "Radha Sham Sundar." So you, Nija Sarva Shakti, you put all your form in your name, and all your power in your name, and all your beauty in your name, and all your love in your name, and all your mercy in your name. But I am Durdevam. I am so fallen. I am so wretched. I am so unfortunate. Although you have thousands and millions of beautiful names full of Prem, Prem Nam, Mukya Nam, Damodar, Madhava, Govinda. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. And inside these names you invested all your potencies, but I am so Durdevam, I have Anurag. Non-Anurag. I don't have any Anurag, I don't have any Rag, I don't have any Anurag. I don't have any kind of attraction or attachment. Anurag means intense. Intense love and affection and attachment for the holy name. Anurag. Non-anurag. I don't have anurag. I don't have rag. I don't have anything. I'm so unfortunate. This is my situation. So Lord Chaitanya, in this verse also, in Shikshastaka, he's explaining how there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. You can chant anywhere at any time and get the benefit of Krishna Prema. It is Chintamani. Is the most powerful thing. And there are many, many practices of devotional service. But Prabhupada says, we in the Hare Krishna movement, we stress, we emphasize the chanting of Hare Krishna. Why is that? That is because the Shastras themselves, the Acharyas themselves, and Mahaprabhu himself explains that of all the forms of bhakti, Navavidhi bhakti, of all the limbs of bhakti, what is the most important? If someone was to come up and ask you, which is the most important limb of bhakti? You say there's 64 limbs of bhakti mentioned, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, but then you analyze that there's 9 limbs, but then there's 5. Rupa Goswami says there's 5, Mathura Vas, Archamurti Seva, Sarvasanga, Nam Sankirtan. So which of all these 64, 9, 5, which is the most important? How will you answer the question? It's, hey Prabhu, hey Mataji, hey Prabhu. Which is the most important form of devotional service? What will you say? How many will say chanting the holy name? How many will say hearing? Hearing Shastra, hearing Bhagavatam. Raise your hand. How many will say chanting the holy name? Vivo! So the answer is chanting the holy name. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri, he asked Lord Chaitanya, hey Lord Chaitanya, you're describing all these different limbs of bhakti, Navavidhi bhakti. But which one is the most important of all the 9 limbs? And he said, Harinam Sankirtan. This is the most important. And then again later in Antilila, when he met with Sanatan Goswami, he was having some discussion about the purpose of human life should not be wasted, should be spent in performing devotional service. Then he explained how devotional service has 64 different limbs and then 9 limbs, and then he explained that the most important of all the limbs is chanting Hare Krishna. Why is chanting Hare Krishna the most important and most powerful of all limbs? And then you see in the Shastras also it explains. We just quoted the verse in 12th canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says chanting is most important. It says Krishna Kirtan. It doesn't say Krishna Smaram, Krishna Puja, Krishna Archana. It says Krishna. This is the one great thing. Mahaguna in Kali Yuga is Krishna Kirtan. Krishnasya Kirtan, Krishna Kirtan. This is the great thing. And then elsewhere in the Bhagavatam it says Krite Yad Dayato Vishnum Traityam Yuchata Makai. Tapayam Paricharayam Kalotad Hari Kirtanat. Kalotad Hari Kirtan. In Kali Yuga it is Hari Kirtan. It is not Ram Kirtan, it's Hari Kirtan. Although people do Ram Kirtan. But the verse says Hari. Of course, Ram is a name for Hari. But Hari is very, very special. Hari is Brajanam. It is full of Brajalila. This is who chants the name of Hari when she's separated from Krishna? Of course, they gave it away. Radharani chants, Hari Hari, hey Hari Dev, hey Hari Dave, hey Hari Dave, where are you, where are you? Please come and take my heart, take my mind, take my life, take my soul. Oh Hari! So Bhagavatam says, Kalo Tad Hari Kirtan. It emphasizes. So Kirtan is emphasized in the Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Naam Avatar, is also emphasized. He's speaking, he says, Kali Kale Name Rupe Avatar. Kali, right? Kali Kale Name Rupa Avatar. In this Kali, in this age, in this time, Kala, Kale, Kali. In this time of Kali, what is the avatar for this age? The Naam Avatar. This is the Shakti of Aish Avatar. The holy name is the Shakti of Aish Avatar. It's full of Shakti. Lord Chaitanya says, right? Sarva Shakti. Nija Sarva Shakti. He says, Nam Nam Akari Bahoda Nija Sarva Shakti. Nija Sarva Shakti. He's saying, I have put all my potencies in the holy name. I have put everything in the holy name. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, the Naam is the form. What is the form of the avatar? Who is the avatar that appears in Kali Yuga? The Naam Avatar. Naam Rupam. And he's full of all Shakti. That's why he's called Shakti of Aish Avatar. Prabhupada, one lecture, he says, this Hare Krishna mantra is Shakti of Aish Avatar. It is Shakti of Aish. It is full of all Shakti. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So why do we emphasize that this is the most important? Because in this one practice of chanting Hare Krishna, all the other limbs of devotion are found. All the other 9 practices of devotion are found. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavairanam. All 9 practices, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavairanam. In other words, Madhurya Bhav, Gopi Bhav, everything is found in the holy name. So when you're chanting the holy name, as you go through the different stages, Then you start to do puja, you do archanam, the form appears, and you pray to the form through the holy name, and you worship the form through the holy name, and you become a friend of the Radha and Krishna in the form of the holy name, and you become a servant of the Nam Prabhu, you develop love for the Nam Prabhu, because there's no difference between the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself, or Radha herself. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Yugal Mantra. It is Yugal Mantra. It is Prem Yugal Mantra. Radha and Krishna are combined together there. They're in Sambhog and Viraha. They're together in Sambhog and they're separated in Viraha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Sambhog. Radha and Krishna together. Krishna, Krishna, separated. Hare Hare, separated. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Radhika Raman. Radha Raman together. Then Ram Ram, Hare Hare, separated. So this is an actual, this is the essence of the spiritual world. The essence of Vrindavan is simultaneously unlimited, eternal union and separation. That's why we say unity and diversity, or union and separation. Radha and Krishna are together and separated simultaneously. Sometimes at Prem Sarovar in Barsana, Radharani is sitting on Krishna's lap. So when she's sitting on Krishna's lap, that is the lila that comes when one is chanting Hare Krishna, or Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hey, hey, Radha Raman, Radha Raman. So then Radha and Krishna are together. Then Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Madhusudan. Because what happens when Radharani was sitting on Krishna's lap in Prem Sarovara, there was one bumblebee flying around, one Brahmar, Brahmar Geet. One bumblebee is flying around and disturbing her, trying to drink the nectar from her beautiful face, from her beautiful golden lotus face, as one bumblebee was trying to extract the nectar there. So she said, oh, oh, oh. And she was feeling disturbed. Lalita Vishakasaki, they chased that Madhusudan away. They said, hey, Madhusudan is gone. I've chased him away. Don't worry. He won't disturb you anymore. He won't bother you anymore. Huh? When Radharani heard, Madhusudan's gone? Madhusudan won't disturb me anymore? Madhusudan won't distract me anymore? Oh, Madhusudan! And she starts crying and crying and crying in separation. Viraha bhav. Hey Radhe Vrajadevike. She's crying. Hey Krishna. Sri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale. Like the Goswamis are always crying for Krishna. Hey Krishna, where are you? Krishna Kutaha. Hey Krishna, where are you? So she's crying, oh Krishna, where are you? Oh Madhusudana, where have you gone? Please come back, please don't go. And she's sitting with her arm around Krishna on Krishna's lap at Prem Sarovara. So this is Ram Ram, Hari Hari. There's separation. There's just one, not two. So everything is in this holy name, Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is our means, and all the different forms of service are packed in this holy name. And moreover, when you chant the holy name of the Lord, then what happens? It brings with it, consecutively, first the Nam comes, and then comes Rupam, the form of Krishna, then the qualities of Krishna, then the Leela of Krishna, the holy abode of Krishna, all the associates of Krishna. So when all these things are manifested through the unlimited Shakti of the holy name, then naturally in the course of that development, there's the development and the realization and the vision of your own sarup, your own spiritual form. Because if you're realizing Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's form and his entourage and his eternal associates, then you're doing Nam Seva and tasting Nam Ras, and you have to have a spiritual form to serve on that plane. So the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the living entity also. When they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, what is our Siddha Pranali? He said, what is our Siddha Pranali? Trinadapi suni chena turariva sahishnana amani namani dena kirtin. Because by this practice, by humility, by absolute utter humility, one can approach the lotus feet of Sri Nam Prabhu. One can submit his head and heart at the feet of the holy name. But if there's no humility, it's impossible to approach the holy name. The holy name is compared, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Krishna's holy name is compared to a great sun rising in the sky, in the firmament of the consciousness. The consciousness is like a dark, deep ocean full of faults. But the holy name is like a bright sun rising out of the ocean of the eastern sky. But although that sun, the holy name has the power to remove all anarthas, It has the power to give us Krishna prema. It has the power to reveal Krishna's form and our own spiritual form. All this power, Nija Sarva Shaktis, is there in the holy name. Just like the sun has so much power. But sometimes, although this verse, Shukracharya says, there's no faults, there's no discrepancies in the holy name, and there's no hard and fast rules, at the same time, there is some niyam. Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya says, niyamita, niyam. There are no rules. There are no hard and fast rules. But we see, as we approach the holy name with more sincerity, and with a genuine interest to serve the holy name, and surrender to the holy name, and attain the rare fruit of Krishna prema, then we become aware that there are particular considerations, and rules, and yamas and niyamas regarding the holy name. So in Harinam Chintamani, Lord Chaitanya says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the holy name is like a bright sun, and the sun can dissipate all clouds and all, it can just burn up everything. But sometimes our vision of the sun is blanketed or covered by mist, by fog or mist and clouds. Deep clouds can cover the sun. So even though the sun is so powerful, and so brilliant, and can just dissipate all darkness and all illusion, sometimes our vision of the sun is covered. It's covered. So we have to remove those clouds and remove those fog and that mist. So the same thing, the holy name is like a bright sun shining in the heart of the devotee. And it's meant to shine there with all its power and purity. But sometimes our vision of the holy name, or that power of the holy name, is covered by mist and by clouds. And we are not perceiving or receiving the full effect of that sun of the holy name. We're chanting and chanting and chanting for so long, and we're not experiencing any results. Because we're underneath the clouds. There's a cloud covering, or there's a fog or a mist, like in the wintertime there's this fog, kuhara. This fog is covering the sun in the early morning, and it takes some hours of burning sun to burn off the fog. So similarly, he explains that this mist, the mist that covers the soul, that prevents the pure sun of the holy name from having its effect on the soul, this mist is compared to ignorance. And there are four kinds of ignorance which cover the soul, which is a kind of a mist, a misty haze that prevents us from getting the full, pure rays of the holy name. So the first ignorance is ignorance of the position of Krishna, to have the full understanding of the identity of Krishna, that he's the Supreme Lord, way beyond all the demigods, and he should be worshipped. The second ignorance is ignorance about our own identity. It's called Swarup Brahma, or Swarup Brahma. Swarup Brahma means ignorance or illusion about who I am. Am I a sannyasi? Am I a man? I'm a woman? I'm a teacher? I'm a this, that? We have illusion. And we're still under different degrees of that illusion, falsely identifying with the body. So it's called Swarup Brahma. Ignorance about our own identity. And then there's ignorance about accepting this material world, we're thinking this material world is something important, has value. It's called not understanding the illusion of the material world. You're ignorant, but this world is illusion. And so because we don't accept that it's really illusion, we take it as meaningful or valuable, we try to pursue it, or we try to squeeze something from it, or enjoy this world. This ignorance is there. And then ignorance, the fourth type of ignorance, is ignorance about the holy name. Knowledge about the holy name. What is the actual that the holy name is completely transcendental, completely personal, completely pure, is our best friend. We have ignorance about the holy name. So these four types of ignorance are a kind of mist, kind of fog which covers the soul and prevents us from getting the pure rays of the holy name. And then there's the clouds. The clouds are compared to ignorance. Ignorance is compared to a cloud. Tamasimam Jyotirgama. Tamasimam Jyotirgama. It's explained in the Vedas that ignorance is this darkness. Tamasimam Jyotirgama. We have to go to the Jyoti, Krishna Surya. We have to go to the sun of Krishna's name, but we have to get through this these clouds of anarthas, through ignorance and anartha. Mist is the ignorance and anarthas are the clouds. So then he explains that there's three kinds of anarthas. One is asat-trishna, which means thirsting, being thirsty for temporary things. In other words, we're still attracted to material pursuits. We want to gain something in this material world. We want a position, or we want sense gratification or elevation to higher planets, or we want salvation. Asat-trishna means a taste or thirsting for imperfect or impermanent things. The second type of anartha, this is anartha, the second type of anartha is called ridayam. Ridayam durbalyam. Ridayam durbalyam means weakness of the heart. Weak heart, durbal, no strength, ridi. A weak heart, weakness of the heart means that we have desire for name and fame and position in this world, and we're envious of other people. We're envious of other devotees' advancement. When we see another devotee's advancing, then we say, oh, he's not advanced, he's this and that. And we make up rumors and propaganda to try to bring a devotee down. Just like Prabhupada said, three lawyers were meeting together. And there was four lawyers, and the three were discussing. And they had four friends. So one lawyer was promoted to the Supreme Court judge. He was made the Supreme Court judge, one of the colleagues. So then the three lawyers were discussing, oh, did you hear about Mr. Gupta? Our fellow colleague, our fellow associate, he got promoted to the Supreme Court judge of India, the topmost court. And then another colleague, who's a little envious, he said, oh yes, I heard he got the post, but he probably gets no salary, probably gets no wages. So Prabhupada said, this is an example of enviousness, that he couldn't accept that his fellow worker got a beautiful promotion, a wonderful promotion, which brings with it an incredible increase in earnings, incredible increase in wages and money. He said, oh yeah, he was nominated the Supreme Court Judge of India, but I don't think he gets paid. He doesn't get any money. So this is called ridaya durbalyam, to be envious of another's advancement. And then the third type of anartha, which is a type of cloud which covers the holy name, is aparad. Obviously, aparad is an unwanted thing. And then there's four kinds of aparad. There's nam aparad, the 10 offenses to the holy name. And then there's the seva aparad, the offenses that we do by worshipping the deity. Then there's vaishnava aparad. Then there's jiva aparad. Jiva aparad, offenses to other jivas, to living entities, causing them difficulty, harassing little creatures or little cats or squirrels or ants or dogs, just like young children, they like to harass animals. Or even adults, sometimes we see adults that are taking sticks and cracking animals or throwing stones at monkeys and harassing them. So this is jiva aparad, offenses against the jiva. It's explained in my Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these type of anarthas, these three different classes of anarthas, they create clouds which prevent the holy name from shining on us. So how do we overcome these anarthas? We have to receive sambandha gyan. So the guru, he comes and teaches about nam tattva, about the power of the holy name. And then Prabhupada explains that we have to chant very sincerely. It's called Shraddha Nam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Shraddha Nam. If we chant with faith, if we chant with great faith in the holy name, that the holy name will provide everything I need. It will fulfill all my desires and help me attain all the requirements I need to attain perfection and love of God. That the holy name is completely perfect and unlimited. If we chant with this type of faith, then very easily we can, it's called Shraddha Nam. By chanting with good, pure faith and sincere faith, easily we can overcome the anarthas. These anarthas are easily overcome by chanting with faith, Shraddha Nam. So of course, there are different practices which we can do to improve our chanting and try to experience the actual sun of the holy name. In Harinam Chintamani, they explain those also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says the first level of chanting Hare Krishna is called Nam Smaran. Nam Smaran. There's actually four different levels of meditation. There's four different levels of meditation in the holy name. First is called Rupdhyan. Rupdhyan, Gunadhyan, Leeladhyan, and then Sevadhyan. But before that, from our platform, we begin with Nam Smaran, which means that we should sit down and very clearly enunciate the holy name. Very clearly and distinctly pronounce the mantra and try to hear with rapt attention. That's why Prabhupada would always emphasize this first level. He was always emphasizing this first level, because if we don't have the proper foundation, we can't go any further in chanting the holy name of the Lord. The first level is Nam Smaran. Become fixed in remembering the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this Nam Smaran means you sit very tightly and you chant very distinctly and very clearly. And when you become very steady in your clear pronunciation of the mantra and steadily chanting after some time, then you try to think of the form of the holy form of Krishna. This is called the second level, Rup Dhyan, to meditate on the form of Krishna. You're chanting the name very steadily, with great steadiness, the same fixed number every day, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. Steadily chanting every day and very clearly pronouncing the holy name. Then you try to fix the holy name, you try to fix the form of Krishna within your mind. It's called Rup Dhyan. Then he said, if you have difficulty just closing your eyes and seeing the form of Krishna within your mind, based on the pictures you've seen or the Thakurs you've seen or the descriptions of Krishna's form from Shastra, then if you have difficulty in that practice, doing it just closing your eyes, sitting in front of Tulsi or in your room alone, or even if you're lying in your bed, you can close your eyes and try to see the form of Krishna while you're chanting the mantra on your beads. Then you can sit in front of the deity. He said you should sit in front of the deity and drink the ambrosial form of the Lord through the cups of your eyes. Drink deeply from that unlimited reservoir of transcendental beauty known as Shamsundar, Radha Shamsundar. And drink that ocean of beauty through your eyes and let it drench and saturate your heart. And then try to fix the form of Shamsundar in your mind when you're chanting the holy name. And then he goes on to describe higher levels of chanting. So these are some ideas about the holy name. Prabhupada says that we stress this in the Hare Krishna movement. We stress the chanting of Hare Krishna. Then he quotes he's referring in the purport of Jiva Goswami, because in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that in other ages, in Satyuga, Tretyuga, and Dwapara Yuga, people would do Archanam and do Vandanam and Atmanavedanam. So many things they would do. They would, just like our Bali Maharaj, he did Atmanavedanam. So the different limbs of devotion were practiced in different ages. And they're also practiced in this age, just like our Prahlad Maharaj in Satyuga. What did he do? Which of the nine limbs of devotion? Chanting the holy name, Namavas. All the glories of chanting the holy name. Now you go all the way through the Bhagavatam, then you get to the 10th canto, and you find in Vrindavan, what are the gopis doing? Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. They're chanting the name, hey Govinda, hey Damodar, hey Madhav, where are you? Where have you gone? You left us alone on the banks of Yamuna and you've gone off with that dear one. So they're chanting Nam, Sankirtan, and 10th canto. Then you get to the 12th canto and you get to the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, one of the last verses. And how does Vyasadeva sign off the Bhagavatam? What is one of the last verses? He says, Harinam Sankirtan, this is the way to perfection. After speaking 18,000 verses, he gets to the end of the Bhagavatam and he reminds everyone, this is the way, Harinam Sankirtan. So the Bhagavatam, in the beginning, in the middle, and the end, it is nothing but Nam Sankirtan. So that's, and then there's one left. There's one limb of devotion, one of the five limbs left. What is that? Sri Murti Shraddha Seva. To serve the deity of the Lord with great faith and devotion. Love and devotion with great faith. Shraddha means love. Means, this is the meaning of Shraddha. Serve with love. Bhakti Prayachati. This is required. You're offering a leaf, you're offering tulsi leaf to the lotus feet of Krishna, and you're offering pushpam, patram, pushpam, phalam, and you're offering water and a tulsi leaf, charan seva, charan tulsi, and flowers, and mala, and vesh, idam satriya vastram, and you're offering so many things, but yome bhakti prayachati, it must be bhakti, so shraddha means devotion. So in deity service is nothing but nam sankirtan. Klim Krishnaya namaha, right? We say, Srim Klim Radha Krishna Vyam Namaha. All the bija mantras that are used for deity seva are simply nam sankirtan. Klim Gurangaya namaha, etat padyam klim Gurangaya namaha, etat tulsi patram. So anything that you offer when you're doing puja, you chant so many mantras, or you chant Purusha Shukta, or you chant Vishnu Sahasranam. Every single item that you offer to the deity, you cannot offer that item unless you chant Nam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan must be there. Esha Dupo, you want to offer incense. Esha Dupo Klim Krishnaya Namaha, Klim Gurangaya Namaha, Klim Nityanandaya Namaha. So Nittai, Goranga, Krishnaya, Radhe, Radhikaya, that is all Nam Sankirtan. So anyone who's engaged in deity service, Sri Murti Seva, he's engaged in Nam Sankirtan. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained very eloquently and perfectly that the five most important limbs of devotion, they mean only one limb. And the most important limb, which will give us all perfection, and all attainment, and all satisfaction, all happiness, is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, as Prabhupada mentioned in the last line of this verse, the Hare Krishna movement stresses the chanting of Hare Krishna. We stress that above all the other limbs of devotion, among all the other jagyas and practices, we don't care about anything but chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, as members of the Hare Krishna movement, we should also stress, emphasize in our own individual lives, there should be, what is the most important thing in our individual lives? Not our families, not our sevas, not whatever, is our chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We should stress this. He said, what is the most important order of the spiritual master? Prabhupada said, the most important order of the spiritual master is to chant your 16 rounds every day. That is primary, foremost, first and most important. But what happens? We think, oh, I'll chant later. I'll finish my rounds tonight. I'll walk on the roof. I'll go around town. But first I have to eat. First I have to sleep. First I have to iron my shirt. First I have to do this. First I have to do that. First. And later, the holy name. But Prabhupada says we should stress, this should be the first thing. First thing when we wake up, we open our eyes in the morning, Hare Krishna, Hey Krishna, Hey Govind, or Hey Shyam Sundar, Hey Krishna Balaram. When we open our eyes and we have another day in our hand, it is another day for glorifying the holy name and serving Sri Nam Prabhu and serving our beloved Ishtadev, Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Madhav, Radha Shyam Sundar, Giriraj. So when one has attachment for a particular Ishtadev, when he opens his eyes and he cries out, Shyam Sundar, Hey Radhe. And then he begins his day. This is the life of a Vaishnava. This is a sadachara, the sadhakarana. It's called sadhana krama. Sadhana krama means the practice of a devotee. So let us try to reassess our lives in relation to the holy name and take stock of our chanting and try to reiterate the position or reinstall the holy name in our lives as being the most important feature of our lives. Our very life breath is the chanting of the holy name. It should go on all the time. We should probably, in his purports, he says we should chant when we're eating, we should chant when we're sleeping, we should chant when we're bathing, we should chant everywhere, at all times, in all places. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any questions? Maharaj, Pravishna Maharaj?
Hi. So, Japa, Kirtan, Bija Mantra, etc., they're all part of Nama Kirtan. And you mentioned that probably the most important thing is to chant Kirtan, japa every day. But we often say that the yoga dharma is Harinam, Sankirtan. Among all the different ways of chanting the holy name, is there any special stress to be placed on that sort of congregational chanting?
Maharaj had asked the question, the most important limb of devotion is chanting Hare Krishna. And then he said, is there any particular emphasis done on the congregational chanting? If we examine Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's answer to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's question and also to Sanatan, when he said, what is the most important limb of devotion? He said, Nam Sankirtan. He didn't say he didn't just say Harinam or Japanam, he said Nam Sankirtan. So actually, from the very lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it seems very clear from Chaitanya Charitamrita that he's emphasizing Sankirtan, which means coming many, many people. San means all together, Samakirtan. Many people come together and chant the holy name of the Lord. So because when we chant japa, the tendency is to... Prabhupada once did that on a tape. He did snoring on a tape. So I'm remembering Prabhupada imitating snoring. He said, I've seen so many yogis, they so-called meditate, but all they're doing is snoring. At any rate, so we also do our meditation, our nam smaran. We meditate on the holy name, but we also do our snoring, just like the TM people that Prabhupada was mentioning, actually, at that time. But it's very difficult, although we hear stories about that also, but it's very difficult to fall asleep when one person is breaking your eardrums with whompers on one side, another person is breaking your eardrums with, 12-inch kartals on the other side, and you're surrounded by, 15 mridangas. It's pretty hard to fall asleep. So that's the whole point, is not to fall asleep. It's jeev jago, gorachanda bole. Gorachandra Bole, Gorachandra, Gorasundar. Chant the name of Gauranga in Kirtan. So the real emphasis should be we should come together more and more as much as possible, because by chanting together, then we get powerful. It's the most powerful purification. Because when the kartals are playing and the mridangas are playing, it's explained that the kartals are preaching. And the mridanga is preaching. The kartals are saying, hey, five. Phi means hell. It says, hell on Maya. Get away from here, Maya. Jao. And then the mridangas are saying, yeah, go out and don't come back. So the mridangas are preaching. So when you're surrounded in a kirtan party, it's tremendous. When you sit down with kirtan, Sankirtan, you have the collective bhav of all the devotees and the collective desire of all the devotees. And what happens, we hear from Chaitanya Bhagavat, whenever there's Sankirtan is being performed, it doesn't describe japa, but it says when Sankirtan is performed by pure devotees, then the Panchatattva descends there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes there in that Sankirtan performance, and he dances with the devotees. He dances on the tongue of the chanters, and he dances in the heart of the chanters. So when Lord Chaitanya enters within you, or he appears before you, then all purification comes very quickly by associating with the rupam and namam of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So the best form of Sankirtan is to chant together in the kirtan party. So after class, anybody wants to sign up for the Kanda Kirtan party, we'll be taking names, because we always need more volunteers, because people are always going different directions. But actually, that is the most powerful means. Lord Chaitanya, he chanted on his fingers. He chanted japa, but mostly we see him engaged in kirtan. He's rolling on the ground and crying, and one ecstatic kirtan after the other. When you translate books about Lord Chaitanya, like Chaitanya Mangal, every other page they're rolling on the ground and crying in an ecstatic kirtan, and you run out of words for ecstasy after a while. So this is really the yuga dharma for this age, is to come together with others and chant. So of course we don't want to make very much spiritual advancement, so we try to avoid such engagements. We're not that serious about spiritual advancement. We prefer to sleep in our rooms and chant japa. But actually what we don't want is what we need the most. What we do last is what we should do first. We'd always put off chanting to the end and to the last, but that's what we should do first. And what we don't want to do is go to the kirtan party, is what we should do. We want to avoid that. No, I want shanti, shanti. I want to chant peacefully in my room, nice, quiet, turn on the heater, nice, you know, Hare Krishna. Well, there's no heater in the kirtan party. The heater is, you know, it depends on how fired up the kirtan party is. The heater is your own heart surrendered at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then you'll be melting in ecstasy. Why just get warm and sleep at home when you can melt in ecstasy in the kirtan party? You want to just be warm sleeping in front of your room heater? Or you want to melt in ecstasy by dancing with all the prabhus and all the devotees? Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Sankirtan, this is the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How many times have you had an ecstatic japa session? How many times, you ever heard a devotee, oh, I was chanting hard. I mean, of course it's there also. Advanced devotees, they feel great ecstasy when they chant japa, no doubt, because they enter into lila and so many things. That's there. There's great ecstasy in chanting japa, no doubt. But how many times you hear a devotee say, oh, Prabhu, I just had this ecstatic japa session. It's like, mostly people say, oh, I just had this great sleep. But people describe, oh, he's in this kirtan party with so-and-so Maharaj or so-and-so Prabhu or this or that. It was so ecstatic. We were dancing for hours and hours. I forgot about my home and my family and my body and everything. I really felt like I was a spirit soul. I really felt like I was in the spiritual world. I could feel the mercy of the holy name. I could taste the holy name and that kirtan. If you're sitting in this room and you can't say that you've had the experience of an ecstatic kirtan, then I must say that you have not entered the Hare Krishna movement. You're on the outside of the jar, looking in at the honey. Because it is your birthright, if you enter the Hare Krishna movement, it's your birthright to at least taste one ecstatic kirtan in your lifetime. So how will you taste it if you never open the jar? If you never open the jar of honey and put your hand inside and take it out, you can never taste it. So if you never jump inside a kirtan party or never go to the Rath Yatra or never go join this kirtan or that kirtan, how will you taste it? You're always standing on the side looking outside looking in. So you have to yayatamam prapadyante. As you surrender to the holy name rewards you accordingly. The ocean of bliss, the ocean of purification, the ocean of mercy is there in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, so you have to dive into it. So every day, we're so fortunate, we're sitting here, there's so many great kirtan, the nice kirtan leaders here, throughout the day and night, Nakanda Kirtan party and the other kirtans, but we're too busy. We're too busy with our program. No, I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm very busy with my program. What is your program? Your program is, I don't know what your program is. There's only one program, and that's Sankirtan. Krishna Balarama Kanda Sankirtan Party Ki.
The most important name is Shanti. But if you don't hear it, how are we going to have any attachment to
Shanti? That's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. She said, if you don't hear, how we have attachment for chanting? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that that's why we emphasize chanting, because in chanting, all the other limbs of devotion are included. And the most important limbs of devotion are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering, and Archanam. So if we just emphasize chanting, the more you chant, and then by chanting, you will get the ability to hear. Because chanting brings with it the ability for the seva of hearing, and chanting brings with it the ability for the seva of smaran. That's why Sanatana Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's no possibility of lila smaran without the background of chanting Hare Krishna. So we just chant Hare Krishna more and more and more, then you'll be able to hear. You've heard so many things. You've heard 1,001 times that you're not the body, but still you haven't realized it. Because still you can't control your tongue. This is all of our, and we can't control our minds. We've heard so many things, we've heard so many pastimes, but they're not sticking because there's too much contamination in the mind. We're not realizing it because of the dirt. Cheto darpana marjanam. So the marjanam becomes the consciousness becomes cleansed by the holy name. So the whole Harinam Chintamani analyzes all these different aspects and comes back to the basic thing. But we have jaundice. we have jaundice, we're all yellow, and we have no taste for the holy name. So we want to avoid the thing what we need most. I want to read Bhagavatam, I want to read so much and hear so much, I want to hear so much Harikatha. But when it comes to chanting, we're lazy. We should be chanting 64 rounds every day, but who's doing it? That's where devotion begins. You chant 64 rounds a day, then see what happens. But we can't do it, so we take shelter of Prabhupada's mercy. He said chant 16 rounds, so we chant 16 rounds and pray for his mercy. Because he made it freely available. When Lord Chaitanya had it, he said something a little bit different. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says, if you want to be my devotee, then you should chant 64 rounds. So Prabhupada didn't say 16 rounds maximum, he said 16 rounds minimum. So we should chant more and more and more. Then we'll be able to hear. If you just hear one shloka from the Bhagavatam, you'll be rolling on the ground like Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard one shloka from the mouth of Gadadhara Pandit and he went into Mahabhav, ecstasy. So how many times you're reading Bhagavatam, this and that? So we have to create that purity of heart and mind. How do you do it? The way you create that purity of heart and mind, you're trying to say, I have to hear first, then I'll chant. Of course, what you have to hear about from Guru and from Shastra is Nam Tattva. You have to hear about the glories of the holy name, the power of the holy name, the virtues of the holy name, and how to properly chant. That should be all heard. But then it gets back to once you've heard about how to chant properly and the glories, then you have to chant. The chanting is the most important thing. Because then you just hear, it's called mantra upasana, because one of the higher levels of chanting is to do lila dhyan, which is two levels of lila dhyan, is swarasiki or mantra upasana. So mantra upasana, or mantra mayi upasana, means that you take one mantra which describes just the beauty of Krishna, you chant the holy name, that whole mantra becomes revealed within you. That whole sweet pastime that mantra describes. Krishna and Balaram are walking out to the forest with their flutes tucked in their belt and their turban this way and that way. One shloka. Then you chant the holy name and it all becomes seen to you. So how will we get to that point? By chanting Hare Krishna. There's too much emphasis. I think there's too much emphasis on gyan and reading and reading and reading. We have to read and we have to hear, but we have to chant more. More chanting. Whenever ISKCON people go and meet acharyas from other Gaudiya acharyas, they always hammer on chanting. And you people don't chant enough, or you chant improperly, or you fall asleep. You chant one round awake and 15 rounds asleep. All the acharyas that are kind of compassionate towards us, other Gaudiya acharyas, they look, they analyze, and they always emphasize the chanting of the holy name. And we say, no, I have to read 27, books today, and, I had to read all the Rasika commentaries of all the acharyas, and I'll just dive into the unlimited ocean of Vrindavan Leela. We have to chant. This is how that's our access to all these things, chanting. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.